Just across town at Mr. Lucky's, they were less tight-lipped. 7-year-old Jacko and the band earned their first wage here, a tiny $7 topped up by an enthusiastic crowd.
So this is where it all happened, the late 60s, the absolute heyday of the Jacksons in Mr. Lucky's.
Yeah.
And they were performing just there. What was it like in here?
Oh, the audience would get very excited, and they really enjoy the Jackson vibe. They came often to see them.
And how many people were kind of packed in here?
50 to 100.
They were very entertaining, and people showed their appreciation. Sometimes it's shown in the form of throwing a little cash money on the stage. $1, $2, $10, $15, $20, you know, that adds up, you know.
Then they brought the house down. Sadly, fire did the same to Mr. Lucky's a few years ago. At that time, Joseph Jackson was earning less than $10,000 a year at the local steelworks. The family was surviving with the help of handouts, and the kids were at Garnet Elementary School.
That's the school where I taught, and I taught some of the Jacksons at the time when they were coming up. Female teachers loved Michael. He could do no wrong. You know, he was a little mischievous at times, but he could get away with things because he was Michael.
Now, there's a story about Michael Jackson's school days which really rings true. When he was told to improve his maths by a teacher so he could count up all his earnings, Jackson's reply was,
"My manager will do that for you."
Joseph was determined to make his boys a success, even if that meant constant rehearsals and very strict discipline.
They'd want to go out and play baseball, and they would put the phone outside almost so that they could hear it ring, because he would call them up. And he'd say, "Yeah, are you guys practicing?" And then they'd all run back, and, "Yes, yes, we're practicing. Because they were scared to death of him. Later on, they would tell a story that the reason Michael could dance and twist so well, because he was always trying to escape Joe's wrath. So he was always twisting and turning.
Our exclusive rehearsal tape was made by Gordon Keith from the Steel Town label. Soon after, he put the Jackson 5 on vinyl. He still got 55 original singles like this, each worth $1,000.
Yeah, this is the record, Big Boy. First record that we ever did on there.
That's the first ever Jackson 5 record?
First ever. Mm-hmm.
And when it came out, what was the reaction to it?
Well, the reaction to it is everybody liked it. They thought it would be a big hit. I knew that this record would launch the Jacksons, but I was excited.
Big music names had already rejected the group, so in 1967, Joseph Jackson signed up to Steel Town for 3 cents a record.
This is a contract that started them on their way. It started it all for them.
Without this, no Michael Jackson, no Jacksons.
Absolutely. It would have still been in Gary.
And then it's in my hands.
You got it in your hands, but it's not doing either one of us any good, right?
The Jackson 5, pictured here with drummer Johnny, was soon released to pursue a bigger label. Gordon Keith thought in return the family would invest in Steel Town and help develop local musical talent, but it never happened.
Did you feel bitter then when the Jackson 5 kind of bailed out and went to Motown?
Not bitter, but I certainly was unhappy about it, because you're talking about a group that was turned down by all of the majors, including Motown, about 2 times before I got to them, you know. So really, I was their last chance to make it. How much money do I think I lost?
Yeah.
Since the good Lord has blessed me with good ears and how to pick pretty good talented people, I figure I probably lost $2 billion.
Couple of
billion dollars.
$1 billion.